Luckily, you can warm up every morning with a belly laugh with Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron. But hurry, Subway's new steak with caramelised onion relish sub will warm you up. But it's only around for a limited time at participating restaurants. So grab one today.
Bear Grylls, adventurer, famous for his television shows, has put into his new contract for his new TV show that he doesn't want to go nude anymore. Apparently, producers encourage him to take his clothes off, I guess because they think that girls want to watch Bear. And I'm a bit disappointed, but whatever. If he wants to keep his clothes
off. What's in his name?
Bear, exactly. He's a big
bear.
Bear
at all.
Bear, yeah, exactly. Bear naked. Anyway, we said 131060, do you or does your job require you to go nude or have you been nude at your job? Mason in Craigieburn. Hi, Mason.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good, Mace. Have you gotten nude?
Yeah, so I'm a plumber and there's been a couple times where I've had to strip off down to my jocks just to sit in the boss's car so I didn't get anything on his feet.
So that's not nude?
It's pretty
yeah, in my
jocks.
There's been a couple of times where I've
close.
Had to cover up my pants, but yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're a plumber.
I like Mason's call, but yeah. He's missed the point.
Well,
it's nude.
Very
it's
close.
Very
we
close
can all
to
sit
nude.
In our jocks. Look at swimmers. They swim in their jocks.
He's a plumber, though.
But if you take their jocks off, they're nude swimming.
I mean, look, Mace, I'm sorry. Fev would like you to take your jocks off next
I'd
time
love
in your
to
boss's
see that.
Car.
Yeah.
Your boss might not like it, though.
Oh, well, Fev, you can be my boss.
Yay!
Okay, sweet. That got a bit weird.
You can come to the snow and we'll go nudie run together.
Stop asking people to go nude tobogganing. It's not happening.
It is sort of like you just...
Fifi's going to do it. We had a little conversation and Boxy, I've got an idea. We're going to do a team nudie toboggan.
Are we?
This is when we're in Mount Buller this Friday.
We're in Mount Buller this Friday. Mm-hmm. Great sponsor of ours. Going to be amazing up there on the slopes.
Yes.
But I reckon you should get some like shaving cream around the front area.
Oh, come on.
Put some strawberries on.
Yeah.
And then maybe some chocolate mousse spray. And then
downstairs.
And then down in there for JJ. And then
he wants me to put mousse.
And then hopefully you get that much speed up, the wind blows all. Foxy!
I love that you're still talking. You think this is. You've even started a sentence, is what amazes me.
He genuinely thinks I'm going to put cake on my boobs. And chocolate mousse downstairs
yeah, so
and run around
exposed.
Naked. No, but look like a carnival. Like, that's ridiculous.
Because Byron and I are going to do
no,
it.
We're
I'll
not.
Walk around looking like a buffet.
All you can eat.
This is so wrong.
Sorry.
Elliot in Sunbury. Hi, Elliot.
How you doing?
Good, Elliot. Are you nude at work?
Yeah, there was one time where we had an outdoor rec training course and we'd finished our day's theory work. And we're just hanging out. And one of the girls suggested, hey, why don't we just get naked? And a few of us sort of just stopped for a second. And then before we knew it, she was stripped off. So like, oh, well, we can't bail out now. So we all just joined her. And for the next 6 hours, we just hung out.
Whoa. What happened after that?
I think we just sat around the campfire.
That was it?
Talked and
marshmallows?
Yep, a couple of those.
Mm.
I mean, anything you know else? What, Elliot?
What the hell's going on?
Feb, you just said before you'd like to go to one of those things in America where you just sit around naked around a fire toasting marshmallows.
Elliot was on point.
Thank you very much, Elliot.
Thank you for that. And Adam in Narre Warren. Adam, have you had to get nude at work?
Morning, Graves. How you going?
Good.
Yeah, good.
I'm actually a painter by trade and I was doing a private job at Indigo Hills and on a Saturday and there was no one around, pretty hot. Summer and then I thought I'd take off my top because I was finishing off doing rolling the walls and stuff and then I ended up taking off really.
Just for no reason.
Yeah, just I don't know, I just took it off. I thought it made me more comfortable just walking around finishing off the house full naked.
How did you feel just hanging out there in the breeze just with a roller and
patting
it?
I felt pretty free to be honest.
Yeah, see?
That's hot.
Because I had the overall and everything on, so took them all off.
Adam, why, yeah. Feb, why don't you tell Adam to do the chocolate mousse and cupcakes for you?
Well, he doesn't need it because he's in 40-degree heat, painting the side of a house, and he's sweating up in his overalls. He thought, stuff it. I'm going to go nude. Let it hang in the, get the sausages and meatballs
okay,
out.
Right. We're going to take a break.
I'm free.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Now, all over the news, we're hearing this tragic story about this Australian woman, Justine Demond, who was killed by a police officer in Minneapolis. Now, the officer involved in the shooting, this was when she obviously called 991. thought there was a disturbance near her property, and the next minute she's been shot dead in her pyjamas, and the officer has been identified now. There's of interest here in Australia, but the states are all over this, and we're now about to speak to Wendy Patrick, who's an attorney at law over in California, and she's been speaking on CNN and Fox News. And Wendy, thank you for joining us. Wendy, can you...
Oh, thank you for having me.
This is such a tragic story. You can see that Australians have somewhat of this invested interest in this tragic incident. What's the latest, and do we have any idea why this officer shot her dead?
Yeah, you're asking all the right questions. What we're trying to do right now collectively, and it's heartbreaking for everybody involved, is piece it together. You know, and in other words, a gun doesn't just go off. There had to have been something that occurred to cause this, what's being so-called an officer-involved shooting, because we don't have any other details. What we're going to be piecing together is they're going to be looking at what facts and circumstances were present to the officer, not in hindsight, but in foresight. In other words, what did they see, hear, perceive that would have caused them to fire a shot? And it's frustrating for everyone involved because sometimes these investigations take time. So the best thing we can do is be patient and let the investigation continue to where they're able to provide the details that no doubt the grieving family needs and that the rest of us want to know as well.
And with the questions that the police are going to have to face, I think it, by law in Minneapolis, so you have to have your chest camera on and the dash camera on at all times, but they weren't turned on. Do you know why? Have they come up with that yet?
Yeah, that's another thing that is really been front and center in this investigation. Is part of the reason that we are able to piece together as much as we are in many other cases is exactly that, is because you've got dash video, you've got body cam video. But like any other system, it's not foolproof. It's not perfect. Kind of like a cell phone video footage of an incident. That's not going to be perfect. That's not going to capture all the angles either. So as we move forward, that is definitely, as the mayor of the city already said, something to be looked into. As a, you hate to say that could ever be a training moment because it shouldn't be a fatality, but they're looking into providing an explanation as to why those procedures weren't followed.
Wendy, we know that obviously in the states, gun laws, it's a hot topic over there, and this has obviously, you know, triggered a lot of discussion and debate about your gun laws and particularly officer-involved shooting. How often does this happen over there? How much of a problem is this sort of incident and the recurrence of it?
Well, there's always going to be, there's so many people that are armed, both legally and illegally, that there's always going to be an issue of gun violence where there are so many guns. But having said that, you know, the counter argument to those that propose gun control is that, you know, it's not criminals that this is for, it's law-abiding people, because criminals don't follow the law by nature. So the thinking is that by arming those that are able to prevent further violence because there are less gun-free zones, you'll be able to cut down the amount of crime. Then, of course, the other side makes the counter argument that if there weren't so many guns available, there wouldn't be so many on the street. I got to tell you, it's a problem with no good solution, just continuing dueling narratives. But you're right in that there's got to be a better way, most people think, to shore up loopholes by more background checks to try to make this go down, because it really is too high in the states.
Now, with the police officer involved who fired the shot, was he a rookie?
Well, they're providing not as much information as we would like as of yet, and that's by nature. Every time you have somebody that's under investigation, there really is sort of a gap as to how much information that's going to be made public right away. I wouldn't be surprised if after time goes on and investigation continues, we're provided with some of those details, because that's the question everybody wants to know. They want to know more about the shooter, his background. We don't know that yet. As investigation continues, perhaps those details will be forthcoming.
Wendy, thank you so much for giving us some insight into this and what's going down there over in the States. Thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
And, you know, Fev, the tragic part of this story too is that Justine was due to be married next month. I mean, when you look at a woman who's engaged, met the love of her life, and she herself had her own opinions about guns and the state of America,
yeah.
And now she's been killed by a police officer when she just called 911 to get help.
Well, police are living in fear over there because of what Wendy was alluding to, the amount of guns in America. The likelihood of a gun being on the other side of that door is statistically higher in America than it would be here.
Well, this was a thing, and I said this earlier this morning, and it did get a bit of a gasp of shock from people in the room, because I immediately said I did feel there is sympathy for this police officer. And I know immediately think, how can you go to that? But the truth is, yeah, these cops, particularly in the States, more so than in our country, turn up and don't know what they're going to deal with. And I really empathise for police officers. I think their job, they do an incredible job, particularly our police officers here in Australia. And when they come to an event or to an incident, imagine that sense of, I could be about to, there could be an ICE addict wielding a knife, a gun, I could be shot. You're on your defence. Like, you're constantly going, am I going to get attacked? So I can see how they're ready to fire back.
Yeah, I understand all that, Fief, but the thing that sort of stumps me, and I think stumps everyone that's been over this news story, is they're supposed to have their cameras on. So they had if they had their cameras on, we'd understand what happened. But no one's going to know what happened.
Yeah, no, this story, I agree. This story, absolutely. That's the bit that we don't know about. But yeah. I'm just meaning general.
Yeah, in general,
officers.
I know that. But we can say that all what you just said, and then we can say other stuff. But their job is to have it on. It's a rule. It's a law in their country.
In that
state, to have their cameras on. So if they had to turn them on, we would have known what was going on.
Yeah. And but all that will come through in the investigation.
It will. But in this country right now, and look, I don't know if there are any police officers that can call or want to call, even want to, we can put voice disguises on. It'd be great to hear just a police officer's perspective on what it's like when you attend the scene of a crime and how intimidating, daunting, terrifying that can be, and what instincts get heightened in that moment.
Yep.
So separate to this case, mm-hmm. it does, I think we're very quick now to turn on police officers and call them, you know, gun happy, but that is a very courageous thing to do, to turn up to an event.
Line's always open here on the Fox, 13 10 60.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
So we just got back from holidays, as been well publicised by us.
Our Instagram.
And when you go away, all you do is eat, sleep, yeah.
and post on Instagram. Jeez, guys, you went in hard.
And when we got back Friday afternoon, Alex is like, okay, I need to go on a diet because I'm a feeder. I feed.
Oh, I'm a feeder. I'm the feeder. Yeah, she's not a feeder. No, Alex isn't.
Alex would eat one meal a day if she wasn't with me. And we'd sit on there. Like, I'll make dinner. And then I'll get a little bit hungry, so I'm order some eat now, which smells amazing. Or I'll make some toasties, and Alex is like, why? Because it smells so good. She's like, give me a bite. I need a bite, because I can't handle it. So I'm a feeder.
Yeah.
So she's like, righto, my sister-in-law's on light and easy, and she's pregnant at the moment. So she's on light and easy, and she's lost a little bit of weight being pregnant, which is a great effort.
Gee.
Yeah, which is good, which is unheard of.
Not what we think of.
So Alex is like, not even the goal.
Alex is like, I'm going on light and easy. That's it. I'm going to go, because you get your meals done. They send it to you. I think it's about $180 or something for a week, and got amazing meals. So I said, well, I'm going to jump on board with you too.
Yeah.
Because I'm largish. And like, Alex doesn't need...
solid. And you need to be as a footballer.
Well, not as big as I am, Fief, because I can't cover the ground as well as I could be.
Yeah, the modern game, you need to be a little bit fitter.
So I thought to myself, Byron's on this butter oil horrific diet.
Coffee and butter.
Yeah,
it's
so I thought...
Drink.
Well, it's called the bulletproof diet.
With a bulletproof diet. So these are all little fads that people go on. I'm going old school.
Yes.
I'm going to go back on a diet that consists of proper food, mm-hmm. not butter and oil.
So portion control.
Portion control.
Natural product.
So obviously Alex doesn't need to go on it, but she's like, nah, because I'm sick of you. I'm going to be strong in the mind. I'm sick of you cooking up all this food. So we're going on light and easy.
Wow.
I'm going to get on it.
Is this an ad for light and easy?
No, we're paying for it.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're actually paying for it. But it's good because, mate, I'd spend $180 in one eat now. So this is for a whole week. And some of the food they've got.
This is great. Okay, so can I ask this, and I don't know whether you've taken this in consideration. I imagine there are rules, like you have your light and easy meal.
That's all you eat, yeah.
Are you okay with that, though?
No.
Because you might get hungry in between.
No, yeah, that's the point.
So what are you going to do in those weak moments?
I've just got to be mentally strong.
Okay,
do you think? Probably not, but I'm going to try it. So it takes a week to get delivered. So we ordered it Friday.
Yeah.
So I think it gets delivered this Friday. So it's
bad time to start and over the weekend.
I know. And how many
especially
weeks?
When we're up at Buller.
Are you taking your light knees and meals to Buller?
Hey, let's go to the Chalet restaurant. No, Fev's just going to heat up his light knees. He'll be right down.
Hopefully, we'll see how we go. So I'm going to weigh myself on the Friday, and then we'll give it a couple of weeks and we'll see how I go.
Eh? I love this. Then don't get me wrong, this is great for you. Well, I was going to say, this is great for you, but have you considered that you may be putting the local Jaffel bar out of business?
I have.
Because that's not fair.
But the problem is I'm going to have to cook for the kids because I cook.
Oh, dear.
So I just got to make sure I don't have little couple of portions of the kiddies' meals.
I can't wait.
But anyway,
to see
so
how
there we
goes.
Go. So hopefully I can shed a few kgs and we'll see how we go.
All right.
But anyway, just I thought it was strange because I've never been on a diet before.
No, well, there was that shake thing you did for a minute.
I did the shake thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That went really well.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Nobody wants to be the victim of theft or to have been robbed or have anything stolen off them. And when something is stolen from you, you go straight to the police and you hope that they can get it back for you. But what if they can't? Well, we have read a story this morning. Jenny Morton Humphreys over in Bristol in the UK, she took matters into her own hands. Jenny, hi, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Now, Jenny, now we know you had your bike stolen. Now, can you tell everybody what happened after your bike was stolen?
Yeah, so I'd left it in the centre of town, and when I got back, I basically saw that it wasn't there. So the locks had obviously been cut. Someone had taken it. I was super angry. I went home, continued feeling super angry, and then I thought, maybe I'll go online and I'll put a couple of pictures up and maybe someone's seen it. Massive long shot. And actually, within about 5 minutes, I posted this picture to a Facebook group and someone got back to me saying, hey, yeah, I've seen your bike. It's for sale on Facebook.
Oh, they got up there quick.
Yeah. And then, so Jenny, what was the next step?
Well, the guy that had found it online, he starts messaging the person who presumably had stolen the bike. And they have this long conversation and he basically tells him that his sister is interested in buying the bike and arranges for me to go and meet him the next day.
So you went over?
Yeah. So I had a lot of time to think about this. So I came up with a plan. I had all night. Had no sleep, pretty much. Got up early the next day. Didn't go to work. Sorry, guys. And I went to meet the guy. I saw him standing there with my bike. Not a nice looking dude. I brought a couple of props with me, which were some old keys. Actually, they were the keys that were for the locks that they had cut when they'd taken the bike, and just an empty packet of cigarettes that I found lying around.
Mm-hmm.
And this was because I thought, I'm going to have to get his hands off the bike. We had a conversation. I was kind of an idiot. I asked a bunch of really dumb questions, like, hey, how does the bike work? And how do you use the brakes? And how do the gears work? He took it. He was like really nice, actually, really helpful. And I said, okay, I'm going to ride it. And I just shoved this stuff in his hands and said, here you go, can you hold this? He's like, yeah, okay, cool. I wobbled off down the pavement a little bit, tried to make it realistic, went around the corner and off I went.
You took off on the bike!
That's brilliant.
Jenny, that is amazing. You've taken the law into your own hands. Just quickly, though, are you 100% sure it was your bike?
It is definitely my bike. Okay, I knew it the moment I saw the picture. Firstly, it's mine.
Okay. You stole your bike back.
There we go.
That's
She's
brilliant.
Got it back. I don't know if you're allowed to do that, but look, it's a bit of fun, isn't it?
Allowed to do it. It's hers.
Yeah, I mean, good on you, Jenny, because the thing is, you know, you never, and we all, that's one of the frustrating things about robberies, is that, you know, no, because if you go to the police and say, somebody broke into my car and took my favourite CDs, they go, excellent, fill in this form. And I don't even expect that to be their priority.
Sure.
But if you can go about your own business and get your stuff back, I
love how she brought props. I hear he'll hold my keys because they're really, really valuable. Nah, they're not.
131060, if there's any other stories like this, when have you taken the law into your own hands? When have you gone, and in a very, I know, Byron, you're looking at me with concern.
Right. That's vigilantism.
Yeah, but in let's, you know, hopefully not go down the wrong path with this. Let's just go into, maybe you just took something back that was yours.
I've got one for you, Boxy. Okay. I was about 7 living in Birch Court and my pop had given me $2 for pocket money. $2 back then is a big deal. It was 1988, centenary year. And...
the centenary coin, I remember it.
I remember 88.
Yeah.
And I dropped it in the court. It had fallen out of my pocket. Because we used to live in a court, so we always played cricket and footy, and it had fallen out of my pocket. And the guy on the corner had taken my $2, and I knew it was mine. And he said, well, I found it. It's mine. So I started crying, obviously, because it was $2 and loved cash when I was younger. And mum went over and knocked on their door and they said, no, well, he's saying it's his, so it's his. So anyway, about a week later, we're playing at his house and we're playing in the backyard. So I went into the toilet and there was $2 sitting in their fruit bowl. So I took $2 back, put it in my pocket, never said a word till right now.
Wow.
I love that you did that.
It's a bombshell.
Could it not possibly have been his $2?
No, it was my $2.
Just checking. $7.52.
It was my $2.
13.
And if
10,
it wasn't, I was $2 up.
60.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
What about the story from Bristol in the UK, Fee?
Yeah, I know. We just spoke to Jenny over there in Bristol. She had her bike stolen and she attempted to get it back by contacting the guy that was selling it on eBay or wherever he was. And then she turned up, gave it a test ride, and kept riding. Went, oh, I'm out. I've got my bike back.
It's actually brilliant.
It's taking the law into your own hands, and it's getting back what's yours. We've got Hayley from Werribee. Hi, Hayley.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Hayley. Have you had to take the law into your hands with a bit of vigilantism?
Yes, I chased down the Roman gypsy that stole my phone in Athens.
Oh, brave. Brave, Hayley. How did that go down? And don't they have lots of friends that then can get involved?
Well, this guy seemed to be flying solo at the time, and I think he was just so shocked by the fact that I chased him down that he literally was so surprised he turned around, fumbled, dropped my phone, so I grabbed it and ran off with it.
Good work.
I love this.
Brilliant work. Thanks, Hayley.
We shouldn't advise people do that.
No, it's not something that we would recommend everyone does, but that seemed like fairly
No. If someone takes your property, you get it back.
There'd be a process.
They could have a knife.
There'd be a legal
or a
process.
Gun.
No.
Okay. But the good news is, Hayley, that's not the official line of Fox, what Fev just said. Hayley, 50K to fly away. Just for sharing that story, you are in the running. 50K to fly away. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you so much.
Good stuff.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
We've been talking this morning about the horrific tragedy that occurred over in Minneapolis. Justine DeMond, an Australian woman, a month away from her wedding, she called 911 because she heard an incident that was occurring in the I think it was the back lane of where she was living, and she wanted the police to come and attend. Now, they've ended up shooting her dead. It was an officer-involved shooting. Obviously, everyone in the States is talking about this. How could this possibly happen? And we did, as we discussed it a bit earlier, Fev, we were discussing the fact that as a police officer, it's really important to look at these situations from a police perspective too, because, and we have many times on this show celebrated our police force, because if you are somebody who gets out every day and attends crime scenes, attends distress calls, you're putting your life on the line every time. And if you're married to, or you're a son or daughter of a police officer, it's an incredibly terrifying thing to have your father or your mother go out every day as a police officer. And we did say, if there's any police officers listening and can talk through the fear, the terror, the trauma of attending scenes and particularly incidents like this where you don't know what you're going to face. Are you going to turn up and there's an ICE addict wielding a machete or a gun? And we have had a call. Now, we've got Matt on the line. That's not his name. He's a police officer on the Voice Disguiser. Matt, thanks so much for calling in. Because we would love to hear from a police officer's perspective, when you get a call and you're going to a scene that might be, you know, obviously tense and you don't know what you're going to face, how scary is that?
Well, when you arrive on the scene, it can be quite daunting. At first, you tend to take every aspect into account, your roundabouts, wherever you're looking, anything that moves can, well, set off anything in your mind thinking that might be a person trying to take your life. And you started your shift that day trying to get home safe, and you're thinking about the other person as a person with a family, of course, and you don't want to injure a person that has a family or anything like that. So you take the chance and you hope to talk them down, and if that's not successful, then you're there to neutralise the threat.
That's the thing, and we're separating ourselves from the incident that happened in the States, because that's yet to unfold exactly what happened there, and it's obviously a tragedy, and somebody has to be held accountable for that. But in general, I mean, have you, you know, Matt, have you attended some, have you been faced with a criminal that's either tried to hurt you, kill you, or any of your fellow officers? Do you face this on a daily occurrence?
I have faced a few people on under the influence of certain drugs, and sometimes they do not respond to normal tactics we'd like to use to restrain them. People on ice, for example, are extremely strong and do not feel as much pain as a normal human would. And therefore, it might look, from an onlooker's point of view, it might look like we're being a little bit more aggressive when we're not. This is all we're doing to keep ourselves and everyone else around us safe. And there's quite traumatic stories where people have been left fatherless as well, as motherless, in situations where all the police woman or man was doing was trying to keep everyone else safe.
Well, Matt, thank you for sharing that from the police perspective.
Thank you, Matt.
We really appreciate it. And it is, there's a lot of emotion around it, times like this, and we all very quickly jump on the police, you know, how could the police let this happen? I think it's just important sometimes to see it from the police perspective too, what that is like day to day facing fear and terror on the streets.
Yeah. And this is this happened on the weekend. Bit of a story. It was actually written up in the Ballarat Courier. It happened at our footy game. A young boy, Daniel, who plays in our team, snapped his leg in half, and it was in the third quarter. Anyway, he got taken off, stretcher, like his foot. I think I showed you the picture yesterday. It's horrific, and they called the ambulance, and the ambulance have got this no policy now. If they go to a scene where they think it's a bit violent or someone says something. So apparently a guy who wasn't part of the footy club, I think he might have been homeless, it's come out, abused the ambulance guy when he came in.
Yeah.
So they left without our player.
Yeah.
And he was stuck in the rooms for 3 hours with a snapped leg in horrific pain. But they wouldn't come back unless they had a police escort because they felt threatened.
Feared, yeah.
Right.
Feared.
And there was a lot of people at the footy club which were pretty upset, saying they should have been here. But you sort of look at their side as well, saying they could have gone. They felt threatened.
Of course.
So it sort of goes both ways. So that these guys, this poor kid, was laying in our rooms for up to 3 hours with a snapped leg. Until we actually put him in a van with a mattress, and then as we drove out, the police and ambulance came in, like the timing of it, and they took him away, and I think he's getting operated on today, but they do fear, and if people are, you know, carry on, you know, in a boisterous manner or aggressive manner, they won't attend to it. So, we had that issue happen on Saturday.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
I said something yesterday on the show. I made a very somewhat controversial statement. The news was released that the new Doctor Who was to be Jodie Whittaker. Now, she's a fabulous British actress. I've seen her in many things, including Broadchurch. Thought she was outstanding. And I did look, jumped very quickly on the front foot and made this comment yesterday. I saw this and I just thought to myself, no, this could be political correctness gone mad. Doctor Who, man.
Doctor Who, man, was
Doctor
your
comment? Doctor Who's a man. I, when I saw this, I said, no, Doctor Who's a man. And I just felt passionately about that. I made a few arguments. I said, Wonder Woman's a woman, Mary Poppins is a woman, Alice in Wonderland's a woman, and He-Man's a man, Superman's a man, Batman's a man, and Doctor Who's a man. My mum gave me a quick call after the show yesterday. Not happy. Not happy
Pearl
about
Box.
That. Knew she thought that she was very disappointed.
What was
in me.
Her main problem?
Well, her main problem was, and I won't lie, Mum has often shown me up with, let me say, I guess, more research than I ever do on anything, and more forethought, probably more intelligence in many areas. But she just said to me, Fee, you got that so wrong. You know, I want to support you as my daughter, but you couldn't be more wrong. Doctor Who's a time traveller. He's a time lord. He dies and reinvents himself. He reincarnates.
Yep, so and why, it's happened 13 times.
Well, exactly. And she said, so yeah, of course he can come back as a woman. Batman was Batman. That is one person. He's not dying and reinventing himself.
I reckon I pretty much went down that line, Boxy, yesterday.
Did you?
Because Doctor Who can be anyone.
Yeah,
who?
You missed out the bit where he dies. He keeps dying.
Yeah, but I didn't want to give away
the plot.
I didn't
know he kept dying.
I didn't want to give it away. Like,
I've never watched Doctor Who.
Yeah, well, neither have I.
All I knew when I was growing up was I had my Barbie dolls, my brother had his Doctor Who doll, and I used to play with it.
And it was a guy doll.
It was a guy doll, and I used to hear the theme music when my brothers were watching it, and I'd go and hide under my dad's desk in the study. I hated Doctor Who. So I've never watched Doctor Who. Who knew the guy died and then reincarnated? Oh, well, so I take back. This is a retraction. I'm now taking it back officially. Of course, Doctor Who can be a woman. There we go. My apologies, and my mum, I hope she's listening.
And thank you to Pearl Box, being your off-air producer. Yeah. That gives you a little bit of feedback.
Oh, she gives a lot of feedback.
I've got one of them. Yes. Alex does that often.
Your wife.
Oh, yeah, she's amazing.
Do you know what brought this up too, though, Feb? Mm. There was another little bone of contention. Oh. Do you remember when I was giving examples of other strong female characters
and I mentioned
Sheena, Warrior Princess, and Byron kept going, it's Sheera.
The Princess of Power.
I think you'll find it's Sheena,
Warrior Princess. Separate characters.
Well, yeah, but I kept saying Sheena and you kept going, it's Sheera.
Well, tomorrow I'll issue my retraction.
This might be petty, but I had to bring that up just so I could prove Byron wrong.
I love how Boxy did something and took something back, but then dished it out.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Yeah, I bet you spend on holidays and you spend a lot of time with your kids because it's 24/7. So you pick up a couple of little things that you don't normally pick up when you're around the house because they're off in their rooms or you're doing something. And Lulu has an obsession with YouTube, blogging. Slime.
Right. Yeah, because she was going through all those slime tutorials.
She watches all that. And they're all...
She's seven now?
She's seven, yeah. So they're all American-based. So she's walking around when we're on holidays in the villas going, hey, y'all, there's y'all, hey, brah. I'm like, what is going on? Lulu thinks she's American. Loves That's everything so about America. She loves F. Oh,
my son.
I'm spewing that.
My American boy.
Yeah.
Oh, look out. He's nine. She's seven.
Oh, hey, wait. I didn't go. That wasn't going down that path. Jeez. Anyway, Byron, that's a little bit creepy.
Yeah.
This is an innocent. They'd just be friends.
So I'm joking, Greg. I'm just trying to theatrics of radio.
Well done.
Yes.
Theatrics. Same thing.
He's good.
Yep. So she YouTubes, but she blogs. So she's got a phone that her nana. It's an old phone. An iPhone, but it doesn't work. It's just, anyway, picks up Wi-Fi. So at home, she gets on it and she blogs on a YouTube channel.
Mm.
But she hasn't got a YouTube channel.
So what is it? Just onto the camera roll?
It's to the camera. She's doing it to herself.
It's a pretend YouTube channel.
It's a pretend YouTube channel. And to the point where we're in Bali and we've gone past the Starbucks. And I'm in the front seat and she's going, Dad, Dad. And we're like, what's wrong? It says Starbucks. They're in America. I want a frappuccino with cream on top. So we had to stop the car, go in. And her screensaver on her phone now is a Starbucks bloody frappuccino.
Oh, wow.
Like she's obsessed with Americans. So I went to her phone yesterday and did a couple of little airdrops of some certain audio.
Here we go.
Hey guys, I'm quick question. I'm really tired from the big day that we had today. I'm going to another big day tomorrow. So right now we'll be going back to my room. Yeah, I might be vlogging. I'm going to be showing you guys the slime package that I got. So yeah. Oh my gosh, guys. This is what they gave us. Just Earth Don't Kill Us. Yeah.
So cute.
Oh my god.
Oh, that is so cute.
And I couldn't quite find some of the audio, but she always signs off. So in the YouTube, the bloggers always signed off with, you know what to do, guys. You press the like button, please subscribe. And she says it, but she actually hasn't got a YouTube channel. So I don't know whether we're gonna let her get one because she is absolutely hilarious. She switched on and I just wonder if anyone else in Melbourne's kids are doing this while they watch YouTube. Yeah. Are they blogging to themselves? Are they putting on
American accents?
Yeah, mate, she walks around and I did work on Sunday and I came home and Lulu had made slime. And I said, how'd the girls go today? And Schnooksy's like, well, Lulu had a great time. She spoke American all day. Just thought she was American all day.
Could this be a thing? Yeah.
She sounds like a little Kardashian. Like, you can hear it.
Well, she wants to be a YouTube blogger star. That's a, what do you want to be when you're older? I'm going to be a blogger. Or a slime.
Probably, it's probably a good plan.
Yeah, good plan at this
but
day
you're
and age.
Right, because so many kids, and obviously Trixie's too young, I do keep hearing about people, YouTube, everyone's watching videos.
Totally.
Like other people's blogs.
Anyway, we'll see if this is a thing, Fev, in Melbourne. 13, 10, 60. And here's some good news for Lulu. She might not have a real YouTube channel yet, but we have put that video on the Fifi Dave Fev Byron Instagram. So that is actually up now for you to view. So this could start something for Lulu.
Well, I did say to her last night, honey, I might talk to you about you on radio tomorrow about your blog. And she's like, yo, come on, bruh. And I'm like, oh, God.
Fifi Dave, Fev and Byron.
Yeah, now, Fev, I love this because you've just brought up that Lulu, your beautiful little girl, is vlogging.
Yes.
And, you know, this is, you had mentioned YouTube videos all year that she's into the slime making.
The slime is, they're still making slime. She made slime last night. I don't get it.
But it's amazing that so many people, young kids, are uploading little videos, little tutorials, and they're all becoming, because really it's today's way of becoming a TV presenter. You've got your camera, you're in your lounge room, and you do your own little TV presenting show. Oh, I think it's so cute.
That's what she does.
Yeah,
she's not here. Because it ain't going anywhere else.
Can we play it again? A lot of people want to hear this again.
Yeah,
this
can we?
Lulu's pretend YouTube channel, keeping in mind at the moment it's just going to her camera roll, which is kind of cute. But anyway, this is her pretend YouTube channel, the sort of stuff she wants to do.
Hey guys, welcome to my show. I'm really tired from the big day that we had today. I'm going to another big day tomorrow. So right now we're going back to my room. Yeah, I might be vlogging. I'm going to be showing you guys the slime package that I got. So yeah. Oh my gosh, guys. This is what they gave us. Just Earth Don't Kill Us. Yeah.
And the actual, she did say vlogging there, so I've got that wrong because I say blogging because I'm old school. But on the video, which you can see on our Instagram page, the thing that she's looking at is actually a bag that was at the one of the villas we're staying in with a hairdryer in it. She was saying it's her slime bag. Very inventive.
That's so cute. Well, she's not alone. Svetlana in Melton. Hi, Svetlana.
Hi, guys.
Svetlana, you have one of my favourite names. I just love saying it. Svetlana, it's the best.
Thank you.
Now, do you have a son or daughter who is vlogging?
A daughter, 10-year-old daughter, who last week blogged. By the way, she doesn't have a page or anything.
Yeah.
The American states, named them all in alphabetical order. And afterwards said, if you like and subscribe and comment down below.
Yeah, that's what they say. That's how they
like
sign off.
Subscribe and comment
Because they
down
watch
below.
Like girls like JoJo who's over in America and she blogs. She was on Dance Moms and she's like huge. Yeah. It's like Lulu's favourite person.
Like, yeah, and she does it with the American accent as well.
Yeah, they copy.
It's so fascinating, isn't it? We just didn't have this.
If Lulu actually did a video tutorial, a slime video tutorial, and we put it up, I reckon it would honestly be our most watched video. Like, it's a huge trend. Lulu's a great presenter.
Well, we did do a little blog. I think a video when I tried to make the slime.
Yeah,
it didn't work
did
out
take
really
off.
Well. Yeah, no, but the slime didn't work out well.
Oh, that's right.
It was real
that
runny.
That was a disaster.
Yeah, it was a disaster.
It was like big hunks of soap.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
No. Kylie in Wallen. Hi, Kylie.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good, Kylie. Is your daughter into pretend vlogging?
Absolutely. Again, nearly 7 years old and likes to pretend whenever we're cooking in the kitchen. Hi, guys. I'm here with my mum. We're going to make pancakes. We've got the eggs and we've got this. Or anytime she gets a new toy and a doll and she's going to open it up. So see, we've got this doll here and we've got the packaging and I'm just going to open this bit. And
they say, Kyle's don't they? They go, well, this is how you open it. Step one. And then you rip it.
Cute.
Absolutely. Her whole life, she just loves to live it as a YouTube video. And like your daughter, of course, doesn't have a channel, but does have an old iPhone that's connected to Wi-Fi. So thinks that she's just, you know, eating a bit, thinking that she's got her own phone and she can make her own videos. And it's quite hilarious. And when you
does your daughter sign off with a press the like button? Make sure you subscribe.
Yes, she
Isn't
does.
It funny though? Because it's true. And I'm now getting a flashback. My nephew, who's 10, I remember when he opened a Lego thing. I gave him a present that was all Lego. And I remember him in the spare room doing a little video about all this stuff. And you know what? We just used to open things.
Oh, rip
but
it open.
Now
done.
It gets kids are narrating it. Yeah, and my through everything.
9-year-old son is obsessed with. There's a particular dude who has a Lego vlog, and he'll pull up YouTube through the TV. He'll watch that guy. If you didn't take him away from the TV, Zephyr would watch that guy all day, and he has like 50 million views on each video.
Every day, my kids do it. They get home from school, they do whatever they have to do, and get their uniform off, and they just sit there and watch, and then they blog themselves afterwards. It's unbelievable.
Frida in Kilsyth. Hi, Frida.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Frida. Have you got a daughter who's into vlogging?
A son, Dean, who's 6 now, but from the age of 2.5, hubby and I would go to work. We weren't allowed to say goodbye, we love you. We had to say, don't forget to like and subscribe.
Ridiculous.
Wow. So cute.
We've created a monster. Thanks, Frida. That's it for us.
That Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron catch-up might make you laugh, but it's not going to warm you up. Luckily, Subway's new steak with caramelised onion relish sub will warm you up. Available for a limited time at participating restaurants.